Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Some breaking news that's currently happening in the National Football League. I'm sure there's a group of you out there that would be happy to hear this. The Cincinnati Bengals have made significant progress on contract extensions with Ja'Marr Chase and also T. Higgins. And it is expected that both deals could be finalized in the coming days, sources tell NFL Network. So it would appear that Joe Burrow is going to get his wish that both of the star receivers in Cincinnati will remain there. So if you missed it, it would appear that Cincinnati is working towards figuring something out with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. There is a message. There is a message here, and I don't expect Cincinnati to get this. If you guys want to CC this message to the Dallas Cowboys, they also are a team that could use this. Always handle this early. There is no financial benefit, none, to waiting. There are no positives in waiting if it is a player you know you want to keep. Now, sometimes you want more information. Maybe it's a situation like Sam Darnold. A guy's a little up and down in his career. He puts together one big time a year and you're thinking, I don't know. I need to see you do it a couple more times before we commit to it. You got to understand that you're rolling the dice a little bit. Sometimes you roll a seven and you get paid out. Sometimes you roll snake eyes, you roll craps, and you lose all your money. That is the gamble that you are taking, but you understand that you are taking a gamble. Nothing wrong with that. And you might even be willing to pay a little bit of a tax to have more assurity that this is going to work or not. But we needed this with Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase has been one of the five best wide receivers in the NFL since he walked into the league. What more information did you need with Ja'Marr Chase? What more information did you need with T. Higgins? He's one of the best number two receivers in the National Football League. I don't think you needed too much more information. The message out there is simple. If you have one of these players, bam. Don't wait on Micah Parsons. Don't wait on Trent McDuffie. Don't wait on Sauce Gardner. If you think you got one of those guys, just pay them. You will never regret paying great, elite, in their prime players. You'll regret paying a guy who's 29 years old, who's on the second half of his career. You'll regret overpaying for a 30-year-old that you think is the missing piece to help you get to the Super Bowl, Von Miller. You'll regret those deals. You'll never regret giving a 26-year-old elite wide receiver his money. Never. So I just want that to be a message out there. We'll see what happens with Cincinnati, but Ian Rappaport is reporting that they are close to getting a deal signed with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. We'll see how long this takes. We'll see how much money they are about to spend. Cincinnati is built very, very weird. They spent a lot of money on quarterback. It would guess that they're about to spend a lot of money on wide receiver. We're still trying to figure out what they're going to do with their offensive line. Their offensive line has just been bad for 5 seasons. Like, their offensive line has been bad the entire time that Joe Burrow is in there, and I have no reason to think that it's going to be good this upcoming year. And their number one defensive player, their best pass rusher, just doesn't want to play for him anymore. Just, no, I'm okay. Please trade me. I've been asking you guys to trade me for months now, and you guys just don't want to trade me. So the Bengals, they are a very, very confusing organization. They really are. They're a very confusing organization.
By the way, that message that you're telling the Cowboys and Bengals, shouldn't Brett Veach be on that list of people that you hear that message? He was, you could argue, he was late with Bolton. He was late with Jones. He was late with Trey Smith. Like, the last three big-ticket re-signings that Brett Veach had, you could argue he didn't get it done early. Last offseason, he got ahead of it with Creed and Butker. Didn't get ahead of it with Trey Smith. Didn't get ahead of it with Nick Bolton. The offseason previous, did not get ahead of it with Chris Jones. That lasted into the season. So, you're right. Dallas and Cincinnati should pay heed. Hey, get deals done early, and you're not fighting a deadline and probably paying a premium tax. Brett Veach isn't immune to that talk. He's 0 for 3 recently.
I 100% agree with you. This is not just the Cincinnati or Dallas conversation. The Chiefs have done this as well. It would have been in their best interest to pay Chris Jones. It is in their best interest right now to pay Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie has proven himself that he is one of the best young defensive players in the league. The price is the price. The salary cap, it's not going down next season. It's going up as the TV money continues to pour in, as the gambling money continues to pour in, as the international money pours in. The salary cap is going to be $300 million next year. So the players are going to want to continue to get more of that money. So yeah, I'm with you. This is not just the Cincinnati issue. This is the Kansas City issue. This is the around the league issue. Let's keep it with football here. And I know I said we get to basketball. I promise you we'll get to basketball in a bit. I'm going to be very intrigued to see what Joshua Uche does next season. Now, I understand that the Chiefs traded for Joshua Uche, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work in Kansas City. There was a little bit of hope, a little bit of optimism that they could kind of get him back to where he was a couple of years ago. I mean, in 2022, at 24 years old, he had 11 and a half sacks. Now, that year does not make sense. I mean, he has played 5 seasons in the National Football League, and he had 1 sack, 3 sack, 11 and a half sacks, 3 and 2 sacks. So one of those seasons makes absolutely no sense. It's not even like it's the same person the other 4 years than the year that we're talking about. Does not make sense. But it's not just that he signed with another team. It's the who, and also the who they've let go. We could all laugh and say, oh, well, Uche's not going to do anything. I mean, we felt that same way about Zach Bond, their linebacker, who had done very little up to that point in his career and was a special teams player. He joined Philadelphia's team and turned into an all-pro and just got $40 million this offseason. So I'm not saying that Joshua Uche is going to have a phenomenal season. I have no clue. History will tell you that he probably will not have one of those kind of seasons. I'm telling you, it's interesting. Because if Uche goes out this season and balls out in Philadelphia and is able to turn things around and figure it out, man, the Chiefs could have desperately used that guy last year on their defense. They could desperately use a guy who can play off the end, who can get to the other team's quarterback, who's making no money. Not like Joshua Uche got paid. He signed for what? $2.5 million, 1.2 of it's guaranteed. You just paid that for what we think could be your third running back this year. They got that for a guy that they think can help them in the pass rush. So maybe it's something, maybe it's nothing, but it's definitely something to track that Philadelphia, who just lost Joshua Sweat, who just lost a couple of these players. You know their defense. You know the pass rush that they have. It is one of the best defensive teams in the league. They think that Joshua Uche has a little bit of something left in the tank, and they are willing to roll the dice and give him a chance and see what he can do in their defense. It is definitely something I'm going to track.
I mean, it's definitely something to monitor. And you mentioned Joshua Sweat. The Eagles have done this before. Joshua Sweat was not some can't-miss Von Miller prospect. He took some time, took some seasoning, as you like to say, before he became a problem in the NFL. Joshua Uche was a healthy DMP a lot for the Kansas City Chiefs. If he becomes a productive pass rusher, I don't know if it's just system, scheme, fit, I don't know, but it is worth monitoring that Steve Spagnuolo potentially couldn't make it work with that guy, but potentially Vic Fangio could. Doesn't mean the Chiefs are a bad organization, but it is noteworthy, especially considering right now the Chiefs pass rush is lacking and they couldn't get anything out of that guy and had no interest in re-signing that guy.
We got Nate Taylor coming up in just a little bit. Before we do that, I want to tell you guys that I see what you guys see. I see it. This is the analogy I'll make. I believe that everyone thinks that everybody else's job is easy. I really think that. You guys probably think, oh man, Carrington, it's so great. You just get to watch sports and talk about it and you show up at 1:40. Oh man, I could do your job. Maybe you could. I'm not saying you could or you couldn't. I'm saying that if on Monday they just said, hey, why don't you host the drive? I'm guessing at the end of you, like, man, that's a lot harder than I thought it was. Man, how do you do that every day? I don't know. I just do it. I imagine the same thing if I did your job. You're thinking, oh, man, you can't just do that. I would do it and be like, man, you know, that's kind of hard, a lot harder than I thought it was. How do you do that every single day? I'm sitting there and I'm watching KU, and I've seen you guys' complaints, frustrations. I mean, I talk to Rob just about every day. Even on the weekends, I talk to Rob. We communicate in some capacity every single day. There's not many people in my life that I talk to more than Rob, just given our job. I've seen KU in person 4 times this year, and I saw the most Hunter Dickinson sequence of all time. I've seen him for 2 years in person. I saw the most Hunter Dickinson play of all time. He gets a rebound. He then decides, I'm a point guard, and then dribbles it up the court. Then quickly realizes, maybe I should pass it. And then awkwardly passes it behind him where it's almost a backcourt. Then he runs toward the rim. Okay, all right, this play is going to end up working out. Wide open. If he makes this dunk, the whole place goes crazy. The other team calls timeout. This is a really good play. It was like when you miss a dunk on NBA Jam and the ball just goes high up in the air. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting there and I'm dying laughing. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I get it. I get how this team is so frustrating. Now, it's all relative. There are certainly teams that are way worse than Kansas. But if you've been watching him and you've been watching that team for the last 2 years, I understand why you can just be at your wit's end. I can see the emotional toll that this team has taken on Rob as the season's progressed. Rob used to come here with so much, hey, me and my wife are going to the game afterwards. Hey, can I... Hey, go ahead, Rob, do what you need to do. Hey, if you need to take off a little bit early so you can go to the game, go ahead, Rob. I want you to enjoy it. He doesn't have that same twinkle in his eye anymore. He just looks tired. He looks like he's ready for this era of Kansas basketball to end. He's not wearing his KU jersey anymore. Rob used to wear the little jersey with the hoodie underneath. He used to have a little bop in his step when I knew he was going to a KU game. That bop is gone. Rob knows what I know. He has one more game of this season coming up. They got one more game. They have won 5 games away from Allen Fieldhouse since beating Duke. It is UCF twice, Colorado, TCU, and Cincinnati. The team they're about to play next Thursday or Friday, way better than that team. Way better than any of those teams. This KU team's not good. I'm not telling you something you don't know. I'm just simply telling you yesterday as I watched them and I could hear the frustration from KU fans and I'm snickering outwardly and inwardly. I finally understood. I get it. I get why this team has been so frustrating to you guys. If I got to watch KJ Adams just try to go one-on-one on the baseline and frantically throw up a missed layup, I would be mad at myself too. I'm tired of seeing DeJuan do that little cross the lane sky hook off the glass and it misses on the other end that leads to a fast break for the other team. I'm tired of seeing it. I know you guys got to be tired of seeing it. You've been seeing DeJuan do that for 6 years now. I get it. That's all I got to say. I don't have any jokes. I just want you to know that CDOT cares if don't nobody else care. Coming up on the other side, Nate Taylor will join us. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Nate Taylor. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs. They have been active in free agency. Nate, let's start with this. I don't think the Chiefs have hit a home run per se in free agency. I'm not really sure if there were a lot of home runs that were out there in this free agency period. But I do look at the Chiefs as they pretty clearly had a plan of what they wanted to do. And I think for the most part, they've executed their plan and all of their moves make a lot of sense about what they need and how they address those needs.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. And I totally understand what you're saying. I guess the biggest home run in free agency would have been, you know, had Ronnie Stanley really got to free agency and the Chiefs could have, potentially signed him on Monday. But look, you know, with a plan B that involves Jalen Moore to make sure that you address the left tackle situation and also, add some players that you think can be valuable over the next, 2 year window while also, trying to make sure that you can be as flexible as you want during the draft. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And of course, they've addressed some small things like, hey, who's going to be the backup running back? Who's going to be the backup quarterback? Who can be cornerback 2/3 alongside, Jalen Watson. So, they weren't going to be doing a ton of major things because they chose the franchise tag Trey Smith. But since the trade of Joe Tooney, everything does appear to make sense, even though they weren't going to be like major players in the first, you know, wave of free agency.
I like the Jalen Moore move. We saw four different left tackle moves in the National Football League. Dan Moore signed a big deal. Laremy Tunsil got traded. And we also saw Ronnie Stanley go back to Baltimore. I think of all of those options, Kansas City probably came out the best. They spent a pretty reasonable amount at left tackle. And there is some kind of upward mobility where I just don't know what Jalen Moore is. He has a chance to be a decent starter in the league at left tackle, or it could not work at left tackle. And the Chiefs can get out of that move in a year. I think of all deals they got signed at left tackle, I actually think that's probably the most team friendly of any of the moves.
Right. And I think the only player they weren't sort of in, or, you know, at least looking towards, was Dan Moore, just because that contract kind of ballooned very, very quickly. So look, you know, Laremy Tunsil was, you know, a slim possibility. And, you know, we saw what the Commanders gave up. The Chiefs were not going to give up four picks for him. So when it comes to Jalen Moore, if you look at the contract, let's say he's an adequate left tackle in the 2025 season, then you actually got a starting quality player at below starting quality money for at least the first and perhaps the second year. Now, look, if he's awesome, you know, next season, then you can obviously try to have some conversation about extending him, considering that he's younger than any of the other players you talked about. And obviously, he's the least experienced, but he has, you know, as I wrote in The Athletic, look, he's been an understudy for the last 4 years under Trent Williams, obviously a player from, you know, recent past the Chiefs tried to sign in free agency. This is what they felt was the best way to, you know, sort of hedge their bet in terms of not having to commit themselves towards the draft, not, you know, mortgaging, you know, more draft picks in the future to sort of, you know, try to solve an issue right now, but also see if they have a player that can grow into the role, especially knowing that once you trade Joe Tooney, you were going to put Kizzy Suamata-Ia in at left guard. So this is the big question now, knowing that, yes, this might be Juwan Taylor's last year based on his contract. And, of course, you still have Wanya Morris as the swing tackle if there's an injury on either side of the offensive line. But, of course, Jalen Moore is, you know, has had no injury histories. He has played well in spot start opportunities. The only question is, can he do it now for a 17-game season? And, of course, will the Chiefs be able to develop him and improve him over the course of the season so that he can be at his best for the postseason? You know, I don't know if there were any other team that was going to give Jalen this kind of opportunity, this amount of spotlight in terms of being on the stage, you know, obviously protecting Patrick Mahomes. So I'm excited to see what it looks like because, to your point, you know, this is as good of a plan B as you could have, knowing that you did not want to move up in the draft to take a tackle to see if that rookie could obviously be available to start on day one, when that's a bigger gamble than what the Chiefs just did in free agency.
Nate, I understand that we are a long way from the start of the season and we are playing this on paper, but now that we know what the five should look like for the offensive line, I'm curious if you think that the O-line is better. It is certainly different than it was last year. Mm. Do you see the offensive line is better?
It really comes down to Jalen Moore, because I'm going to say it's a wash at best at left guard, right? Kingsley Suamata-Ia is athletic, and they need to find out if he's worth, you know, obviously a second-round pick investment and if he can be a dependable starter, not at a premier position like left tackle. Obviously, I think Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, they will continue to get better. They are basically entering their primes. They obviously need to perform at a high level because they're both the highest-paid player at their position. Juwan Taylor's kind of the swing along with Jalen Moore. If Juwan Taylor can just not have as many penalties, right? And I know that's a big ask based on the last 2 years, then it might be better, because all that matters is look at that stat from last year, kids. Patrick Mahomes got hit more often than at any point in any other season in his career. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, he will be 30 in September, which means you need to protect him as much as possible to extend as much peak athleticism he has left in his career. Patrick cannot be scrambling around trying to figure things out, you know, 3 and 4 seconds into a play when he's 35, 36, and we all understand what that means. So if you tell me right now that the Chiefs will have a full season where Patrick Mahomes, we assume, plays 16 or 17 games, and he doesn't have as many hits on paper that he had last year, then it's a massive success. And a lot of that was because the left tackle position was not sustainable, and he was getting hit in less than 3 seconds more times than he had ever been hit before, and they obviously had to force Joe Tooney to play out of position. So the only way this can be successful is if the parts all come together in a way, and you could also add, too, maybe the coaching staff changes the scheme a little bit to where Patrick's not getting hit more than 100 times in a 16-game season. I mean, that's all that matters in this is just, hey, can Jalen Moore and Kingsley Suamata-Ia be dependable for, again, 16 to 17 games? And I'm not worried about the sack numbers. It's the amount of hits that pile up when you get to November and December before, obviously, you try to make another run at the Super Bowl in January. If there's less hits, then it is a massive success given that, you know, you took an all-pro guard and shipped him away, and you put a lot of trust in basically an unproven starter and a second-year player who's only had 2 starts to his name before this upcoming season.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs. One thing that intrigues me about Kansas City's offseason is the last time that they lost the Super Bowl, the Chiefs moved with a great sense of urgency in how they sort of operated. They really attacked things. They made a trade for a left tackle. They went out and signed Joe Tooney. Like, they were major players in free agency. This year's free agency seems a lot more about sort of keeping what they did last year. They brought back Kareem Hunt. They brought back Hollywood Brown. They brought back Trey Smith. They brought back Nick Bolton. This kind of feels like heading into that year in 2020 where the theme was run it back. This team to me is not operating like a team that got embarrassed in the Super Bowl and now they're desperately trying to fill holes to kind of catch up to where they were. It feels like a team that feels like they were in a really good place. They just had a bad game, a bad night, and they're trying to keep, you know, status quo.
Yeah. And I would add to that too, C-Dot, that I think most fans should think about this in a course of a 2-year window, because now you've solved some of the holes on your roster, but you also understand, too, that the 2022 draft class is coming up on its final year of its rookie contract. And so I think what the Chiefs are understandably trying to do right now is, again, make small incremental improvements for this upcoming season, but still have as much flexibility as you would like, a la a Trey Smith extension happening sometime soon, so that you know that you can retain Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis. We'll see what happens with, you know, guys like Leo Chenal and Brian Cook and obviously, you know, Isaiah Pacheco. But I think the Chiefs understand now that, okay, they went for a three-peat. They spent more money in last year's roster than they had at any point in the Mahomes era. And so they're not necessarily taking a step back. They're just trying to be reasonable about understanding that this is not the best free agency class. There's a reason why they, you know, obviously placed the franchise tag on Trey Smith, because he was going to be the most coveted offensive lineman, and you had to sort of fix the left tackle situation. So I think next year's free agency might be a little bit bigger, but also they understand, too, that they want to retain some of their better players. And I would tell the Chiefs, the moment that they get an extension done with Trey Smith, they need to pivot based on the way the market is going. They need to pivot to try to find a way to get Trent McDuffie under contract for an extension before the actual season starts, similar to what they did this past year with Creed Humphrey, right? You understand where the markets are going to go, but this is not a great free agency class, which means you obviously need to put a lot of emphasis on this year's draft and not put yourself totally to a place where you have too much dead money and you don't have enough viable cap space, with understanding that, hey, that 2022 draft class, this is the last time you can sort of maximize them in terms of controlled costs. Plus, I think another thing that we also need to circle is a lot of this free agency and what the moves all became this year, C-Dot, essentially begin with, is Travis Kelce going to be on the team? And it will be the same way next offseason if he decides to retire. or if he decides to do an additional year. Again, me personally, it's setting up to be his last year of his career, but the Chiefs had to know that before free agency started. They basically knew that at the time of the combine. So if you know that as well, that gives you some relief knowing that, okay, we can still try to do some things this offseason, but we actually might have more space and more urgency next offseason because there might not be Travis Kelce because he'll be going into 35, 36. And depending on how the receivers work out, you might need some more money to get a proven pass catcher that you didn't have to do necessarily this offseason. And that's why you might re-sign someone like Hollywood Brown and why you might sign someone like Juju Smith-Schuster pretty soon, because you can at least retain what the offense was while fixing other areas of the roster.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor going through some of the offseason moves for the Chiefs. I think of all the moves that they've made, the Christian Fulton one is a really, really good deal. You know that I have been banging the drum to make investments at corner and what this means for that secondary. You got McDuffie as the one. Fulton is your two, a 26, 27-year-old, very productive corner. You now got Jalen Watson as the three. You move everybody down, and that's where you get your depth from. I really like what they've decided to go with their secondary. I don't think they have a guy in their secondary over the age of 28 years old when you factor in the safeties. This is a very young, very talented, very strong secondary that Kansas City has built.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons why, in essence, the Chiefs chose to bolster their cornerback position and let Justin Reed walk in free agency. With Fulton now in the mix and playing, I would assume, the majority of his snaps on the perimeter, it puts Trent McDuffie back to his natural role as the league's best, you know, nickel slot corner. He's allowed to blitz. He's allowed to obviously give you inside-outside leverage in terms of coverages. And now it should help a little bit of the middle of the field for your safeties, being Jaden Hicks, Chamari Connor, and Brian Cook, right? Those are the three guys that I assume will be in rotation during dime, in addition to the three guys we talked about earlier. If something is to happen, it's a lot easier to say, okay, well, Joshua Williams or Nazi Johnson is cornerback 4 or 5. They'll both be effective on special teams. The other thing, too, that you have to think about is the Chiefs were such a good team at tackling. I know we talked about that right before the Super Bowl, that the Eagles and the Chiefs were amazing at open field tackling. One of the reasons why Chiefs fans should be optimistic about Fulton is the idea that, yes, he can play press man. He can also play zone, so that gives Spags plenty of time to disguise things and do some wild, crazy stuff. But, man, when the ball's in the air or when the receiver catches the ball, you have to tackle in Spagnuolo's system, because that's why you're blitzing. You're blitzing to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand sooner than he wants, and you got to rally and tackle. Fulton did that very well this past year for the Chargers, even playing through some injuries. So, look, Joshua Williams, he loves to tackle. It was the same thing with Justin Reed. So if you're going to replace Justin Reed with a younger player and you're going to have more strength at the cornerback position, that player who you're replacing needs to be able to tackle and needs to be as versatile as you could ask an outside corner to be, so that you can make Trent McDuffie even better in his role. And if that happens, then I think the Chiefs defense can still be pretty good about controlling things and not giving up big plays over the top. Once you acquire Fulton, I think now the understandable question is, how do you build up the defensive line? And I think that might be a situation where the Chiefs are really going to identify and try to get maybe 1, 2, who knows, maybe even 3 defensive linemen in the draft, because it's very, heavy this year at the defensive line level. And if you have experienced cornerbacks behind it, that makes for a decent strategy as to stabilizing the defense. Again, another reason why you chose to re-sign Nick Bolton over an older player in Justin Reed, even though Justin Reed was very effective last year.
Last thing here, Nate, and we appreciate your time. The Chiefs have re-signed Kareem Hunt. That, in a vacuum, not that big of a deal. They also went out and they got Elijah Mitchell, which I thought that he was going to be their veteran backup. What do you think this move means? Because my take is, let's say that you are willing to cut Kareem Hunt or Elijah Mitchell. Perfectly fine. That would make sense to me. Maybe you're going to let Carson Steele go and you're going to run with four running backs. I can live with that as well. But what this move cannot mean is that they are not going to draft a running back this offseason. They have to draft a running back. You now have three guys on essentially one-year contracts, and you don't really have any youth or explosiveness at the position. You have to find that in this very deep running back class. So I want them to draft a running back. So I don't really care what they do with Elijah Mitchell or Kareem Hunt, as long as they still maintain the focus that they need to take one here coming up in 7-8 weeks or so.
Yes, 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 yes. Look, everybody, start grinding the tape now, and don't worry where they take this running back in the draft. I know some people were like, hey, you know, revisionist history with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we all get it. But once the second round starts, anything goes. If you love a running back, go get him. Because there's a statistic that to this day kind of still blows my mind. Now, yes, some of that was because of Pacheco getting hurt and you having to add Kareem Hunt midway through the season or early in the season. Patrick Mahomes accounted for almost 73% of the offense's yardage. That cannot happen, okay? By the way, that's the most yards a quarterback accounted for all last season. Patrick Mahomes had a burden on his shoulders while trying to get to a three-peat that is kind of unprecedented. So, yes, Carrington, I completely agree. And I think the Chiefs have learned two lessons, right? The first lesson is their running back room right now is better than it was at any point during the offseason last year, guys. You know what they did in the offseason? Nothing. They basically had Isaiah Pacheco. They, you know, they obviously, I guess the one thing they did do was sign Louis Riz-Ahmed as an experiment, but not great, right? They got Samaje Perine after cutdown day, and obviously we knew Kareem Hunt came back in, what, week three, week four? So at least they've learned their lesson, and they can't do that again. So, hey, you have a professional running back room for the offseason. And the second lesson is, they need juice. They need youth. They need, as you said, explosiveness. And it will be nice to go acquire that player in the second, third, fourth round, whatever it may be, and put him in a room with actual experienced running backs. So, look, I don't know if there's going to be five, you know, backs basically on the 53-man roster when the season begins. Obviously, that includes Carson Steele, who can actually now focus on fullback position and how much can he sort of maximize his potential in that role full time. Because you have to remember, too, once Pacheco got hurt, they basically were like, sorry, kid, you're going to have to go back to running back to serve the offense. So he'll get a full year as the fullback. Again, I don't know. You can. I want to make it clear. You can carry five backs. That just means you have maybe one less tight end or one less receiver on your roster for the 53-man. But at least going into training camp with four running backs, the fourth being some rookie that we don't know just yet, is the right play here, and that's the lesson you learned from last year. Because the moment Pacheco got hurt, they had no viable options at the running back position, and they really didn't make it a major priority last offseason. So I'm excited, and I'm eager to see how they evaluate these running backs, because there's something that I want to tell the listeners before I go, Carrington. Brett Veach has always told me, this is Andy Reid's offense, which means if you play running back, you better catch the football. What running back in this draft class is great at receiving, but also has the ability to get burst and to make the first guy miss? That was one of the brilliant things about them finding Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round in 2022. Even though he wasn't the most polished running back, he could catch the ball and he could make the first guy miss, and he had quality speed. Whoever that player is, if the Chiefs are able to identify and find him, boy, will that be a godsend to Patrick Mahomes, because he can't live like he did a year ago. And one of the reasons to help him not live like that is actually handing the ball off to serviceable running backs in Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, and letting a young rookie grow throughout the course of the season.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor of The Athletic, joining us today to recap what the Chiefs have done in free agency. Nate, enjoy March. Enjoy the weather. It's beautiful outside today.
Oh, it's gorgeous, man. I appreciate it. And by the way, I heard you yesterday. Man, the youngins need to listen to you, bro, because I was like, bro, let me get a blanket. I want to take my wife out to a picnic. But then I realized I got to be chained to this freaking phone all weekend.
Nate, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and turn it off for an hour? I'm telling you one thing. There is no move that this team is going to make that is going to disrupt a nice hour and a half picnic tomorrow. They are done making big time moves. They are done. So go ahead and enjoy your time, Nate. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man, anytime.
Absolutely. That's Nate Taylor joining us on the show today. The Chiefs just got a lot of Kareem Hunts and Jerry Tillery moves left, at least for the next couple of weeks or so. You can definitely turn the phone off for just a little bit. Nate said something really interesting, and there was a running back that came to my mind. I'll tell you who it was. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, I want to play this cut from you guys from our dear friend Nate Taylor. Someone on the text line said, CDOT, the Chiefs don't have to draft any position this year. I disagree. It is time to take another swing at running back. I will be very, very disappointed if the Chiefs don't take a running back. The Chiefs have three running backs that, in all honesty, I'm not sure if they should be on the team in 2026. Isaiah Pacheco is going to be in line for a new contract. You might want to go in a different direction. Kareem Hunt will be 31 heading into next season. And Elijah Mitchell just hasn't shown an ability to stay healthy. I'm leaving Carson Steele out of it. He's a fullback. He's not a guy that you're relying on to get carries or really help you in your offense. I think this running back class is really strong. I think it's one of the better running back classes that we've had in the last handful of years, especially with where the Chiefs would like to draft one. I don't think the Chiefs are getting Ashton Jeanty. I don't think they're getting Omarion Hampton, who went to North Carolina. I think those guys are going to go in round one. I think you were going to see two separate runs on running back in the third and fourth round, because I think there's a bunch of good ones in this draft class. And with there not being a great free agency period and teams still needing to address the position, there's going to be teams that make moves to go get running backs. Kansas City needs to be one of those teams. So I asked Nate about running back. This is the kind of running back he thinks the Chiefs are looking for. I think I have the answer. Listen to this.
how they evaluate these running backs, because there's something that I want to tell the listeners before I go, Carrington. Brett Veach has always told me, this is Andy Reid's offense, which means if you play running back, you better catch the football. What running back in this draft class is great at receiving, but also has the ability to get burst and to make the first guy miss? That was one of the brilliant things about them finding Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round in 2022. Even though he wasn't the most polished running back, he could catch the ball and he could make the first guy miss, and he had quality speed. Whoever that player is, if the Chiefs are able to identify and find him, boy, will that be a godsend to Patrick Mahomes.
I know exactly who they should get. I'm done. I don't need to look anymore. What if I told you that there was a running back that carried his team to the conference football playoff? What if I told you there was a running back that played at a major university last year? They got 293 carries, 1,700 yards, and scored 21 touchdowns. For those of you who are not good with quick math, he averaged 5.8 yards per carry. What if I told you that this same running back last year had 600 yards receiving? How'd you feel about that? Would you be interested? They should go get Cam Scataboo from Arizona State then. If that's the guy that they're looking at, if you were telling me that they want somebody who has burst, who can make a guy miss, who can catch the ball out of the backfield, and runs with a certain measure of toughness, guess who that player is? That player is Cam Scataboo. In fact, Cam Scataboo is a better version of the player that they already have on their team. Do you know how big Isaiah Pacheco is? If you go on Pro Football Reference, he is 5'10", 216 pounds. Guess what Cam Scataboo is? He's 5'11", 215. You can get the better version of a running back that you already have that can easily fit this system and fit this scheme. I don't got to look anymore. I'm gone. I'm good. I'm done. I don't need to. No. I've locked in on the running back I want them to go get. If that's what Nate Taylor tells me they need, go get Cam Scataboo at Arizona State. He will be available in the mid rounds. He ain't going in nobody's first round. I don't think he's going to be a second round pick. He will be a day three selection. Rob, you watch a lot of college football. He was the second best running back last year in the sport behind Ashton Jeanty. He is a dog. And I saw him go up against a SEC defense in Texas, big bad Longhorn defense. They had to know he was getting carries. They had to know that he was the center point of their offense. He had 30 carries for 143 yards and had 99 yards receiving and scored 2 touchdowns in the game. I'm done looking. Go get Cam Scataboo from Arizona State.
What I like about Scataboo is that he's sneaky athletic. You know, he's a gym rat. He plays the name on the front of the jersey, which I think is really important. He's not about the name on the back. I think he's a coach's son. Double check me on that one. But you know what? He's always studying the film. Those are the things I really love about Scataboo.
Gym rat.
He's a gym rat.
Oh, he's definitely a gym rat. 100%.
Real team first guy, if I'm being honest. Nose always in the playbook.
I was trying to have a serious conversation. I really was. That's what I really thought. I really wanted him to go get him. That's my pick. I'm done. I don't need to look anymore.
You know my honest opinion on Scataboo? The one concern I have with Scataboo, he got a lot of... what did Therese always say? There's only so many hits a person has in their body that plays running back.
He did have a
bunch. He took a ton. He was getting usage like you wouldn't believe at Arizona State.
He didn't. I don't disagree with
you. So if you want an honest, I like Cam Scott with the player.
He wouldn't use as much. I mean, last year he did get a lot of carries. I mean, if I'm saying is if that's your concern, then we shouldn't be talking about Ashton Jeanty going as high in the NFL draft as we're talking. Also Hampton. We shouldn't be talking about those two guys because you already know how it is when you're a college running back. Boy, they're going to run you into the ground. That's what they tried to do with Scataboo last year. They wouldn't have made the playoffs if they hadn't done that last year with him. He has excelled at every single level that he's played at. That's the direction that I would like for them to go. Before we are joined by Matt Tate, who covers KU, before we join by him at the top, I want to say congratulations to Steph Curry. Last night, Steph Curry hit his 4,000th three in the NBA. 4,000. There's nobody even close. I want you guys to just think about this one thing with Steph Curry, and we'll move on. Just think about this one thing. All of us have shot a basketball at some point in our life. Some of you got really good at shooting a basketball. Maybe you got a chance to play varsity. Maybe you got a chance to play D1. Maybe you got a chance to play in college. Maybe some of you played overseas basketball. All of us at one point in our life have picked up a basketball and shot it. This person is so good at it that all of us just came to the conclusion, hey, he the best at it. There aren't many people that we all have just unanimously been like, oh yeah, that person's the best. All of us, every single person. There's not another name that you can even suggest that's even close. It's blasphemy. That's how good this person got at shooting a basketball. I've never seen anything like it before. We've been watching Steph Curry do this since 2008. We've been watching Steph Curry shoot threes for 17 years, since he was a junior at Davidson. We have been watching him do this. A sophomore, a junior at Davidson. We've been watching him. And it still amazes me every single time. Every single time. Whether it was the three he hit against Oklahoma City, whether it was what he just went on that flurry in the Olympics against France, the flurry that he went on against Serbia when the United States had their back up against the wall, he is one of the most incredible athletes that we have ever seen in our entire lives. He has hit 4,000 threes. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday to Steph Curry. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, let's talk some Kansas basketball with Matt Tate. Their season, it is almost over. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.